Welcome to the Confident Parent Podcast, where we want you to feel confident in raising kids who have a thriving relationship with Jesus. I'm Joshua Humpa, the children's pastor at Discover Church and father of three spectacular kids with my wife, Stephanie. In this episode, we'll discover what Jesus says about how to have the dream family and to help you feel like you got this. What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of that Confident Parent Podcast. Hey, if you're listening to this in real time, like you're following with us, like as this episode's being released, it's been a little bit since we've been together, since we've released another episode, but we're excited about today's episode, excited for your family, and we're back into it, man. It's been a crazy couple of months, but we're back into it. We've got some good ideas of how to help you and your family become who God has created you to be, so we're excited about that. Now, today's episode is all about having the family you dream of. You may have noticed if you're watching this on YouTube. I got the Disney castle right here, the Lego Disney castle right next to me. The dream, right? What's the dream for your family? All of us, we have this ideal of how we want our family to look and feel, what we want the relationships to be like. And so how do we accomplish that? Well, I'm going to tell you a secret. I have the answer, and it comes from God's word. It comes from the Bible. And it's not just a one step, check this box and you're good. It's a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It's a way of doing things. It's a worldview. And if we do it, it's a promise. Jesus promises us that we'll have everything that we desire. And if we have a desire for our families to be united, to be close, to have fun, well, this is how we get that. So let's dive into it. The answer is seek the kingdom of God. Seek God first. That's the answer. Now we're going to dive into it, how to have the dream family. It's to seek God's kingdom first. It's not to seek my kingdom or the job that I want or even what I want for my kids. It's not my hobbies. It's not my own ambitions, my selfishness. It's not about my kingdom. It's not about my children's kingdom. It's not about making sure that they have all of the sports trophies that they could ever want. It's not making sure that they have the college degree and the job lined up when they're done. It's not making sure that they have no debt when they're out of college. It's not making sure that they're the most popular, have all the opportunities. It's not my child's kingdom. That's not what I need to seek first. The answer to having the dream family that we all desire is to seek God's kingdom first. You see, it's all about building a life centered around God in every category. Any list that you create that has anything to do with your life, it's making sure that God is at the center, the priority in each category of your life. That's what it means to seek God first. In just a little bit, we're going to go through the text where Jesus says this. This is Jesus himself, God in a bod, telling us this is the secret. This is how to have everything that you desire. This will be it. Part of that is because our priorities will shift once we seek God's kingdom. But before we get into that, it's about building our life around God in every area. So if we're going to have the family that we're dreaming of, which is a family that gets along, that's confident, that doesn't have issues or addictions or like messed up problems, that we like our kids love hanging out with us for holidays. It's just a good family. We help each other in times of need. It's just a good family unit. It's close. Then the absolute crucial recipe is that God is the center of everything, every category. It's like a recipe, right? Like you're cooking and like there's like this one main ingredient. The main ingredient in all of our lives has to be God in every single way. And so when he's at the center, the fruit of the Spirit will naturally be displayed in our families. You know, it's love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know, in fact, in scripture, it continues, it says, there's no law against these things. Like no one's saying like, hey, settle down now, no more joy, okay? Or like, hey, you're having too much peace here. You need to be a little bit more worried. No, these are all great things that we want for our family, that you want your kids to display. I mean, you want your kid to come home from school, man, they are so full of joy. They're so patient, right? They're so long-suffering. That's what we want for our kids. And so when God's at the center, the fruit of the Spirit's gonna naturally come out. There's selfless attitudes, there's unity, there's a shared purpose. When God's not at the center, it's the opposite of all of that. Like everything that we work towards is the opposite of the fruit of the Spirit, right? So it's not love, it's complete hatred when there's not God at the center. Instead of joy, it's just complete anxiety and like sadness, depression. There's no long suffering, there's no patience, right? It's like now, 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 now. That's the opposite of God and doing things God's way. And so in order to make our relationship with God bigger and more of a part of our lives, it's greater than just attending church. You know, it's more than just, you know, giving to missions or tithing to get a tax credit. it's more than serving because it makes you feel good inside. It makes you feel like a hero, right? Like doing all of these extra things, putting God at the center, it becomes bigger than that. There's a bigger purpose, a bigger vision to that. And so that's why it's so important that God is the center. That we're not just doing these things because we do them, but that God in every area of our lives, we're completely, fully surrendering to him and making it that way. Now, we're going to read and talk about how Jesus talked about this, about putting God at the center of our lives and seeking his kingdom first. But just to get our brains thinking a little bit, right, because we're going to ask some questions at the end to kind of do some self-evaluation of, is God at the center of my life? Am I seeking the kingdom of God before anything else in these categories of my life? I want to get your brain thinking just a little bit. So I have a question for you. What shrines do you have in your home? Okay, you're like, none. I'm not like this pagan worshiping weirdo anymore. No. Okay, when I mean a shrine, when you walk in your house, people can see what you care about, right? It's obvious. If they've never been in your home, they walk in your house, they look at the walls, they look what's displayed, they look at what's expensive in your house, and they can tell what you care about, what's important to you. We call these shrines, right? What's a shrine? I joke. My brother, as of the time of recording this podcast, he's a freshman in college. And so for his high school graduation, my parents decorated the whole garage with all these pictures, right? It looked really nice. It was really fun with him growing up with the whole garage, his pictures. And he graduated from Franklin High School. And so like all this saber stuff, like the saber-tooth tiger. Decorations all over. And it's just funny because, you know, it was hard for my mom when my brother left for college. But we joke that this is the shrine to Micah. The garage is the shrine because even still, you know, all these months later, it's all still up, right? It's like symbolizing how significant and how important my brother is to my mom, that she absolutely loves him and adores him. And so there's this shrine. And so in your home, what's the shrine? What are the things that are displayed that are, like, it's very important to these people? You know, just so some examples, some things to maybe think about is family. Maybe you have a ton of pictures of your family. People walk in and they say, wow, this family really cares about each other. They really like doing fun things together and taking nice pictures. Maybe it's your TV, like your entertainment center. When people walk in, they go, wow, like this place, like sitting down, great big TV, great big sound system. This is a big deal to this family. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's the alcohol cabinet. Like you walk in and it's like, oh, wow, this family, this person really likes to drink. And you might say like, oh, but it's not, you know, it's just every once in a while. But clearly it's important to you because it's there. Maybe it's the Packers. Maybe you got a big whole thing giant decorated about the Packers, right? A whole shrine to just the Green Bay Packers. We're Wisconsin, so we're the Packers, right? Or maybe it's toys. Maybe you walk in your house and there's just kids' toys everywhere, right? So your kids and them having fun and being entertained. That's kind of my house right now. I have a 1.5-year-old at the time of recording, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, and like toys are everywhere. They're in the basement, they're in the living room, toys are everywhere. And part of it's because they're just not cleaning up. But what's important to you? When people walk in, what do they see? Do they see that God in this home is clearly important, right? That they see things in your house that tip them off that this is a Christ-following family. They really care about the Bible. They really care about God. Just something to think about. Get your brain thinking. And this is how we put God at the center of everything. So let's go to our text. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read through this. If you're able to pull the Bible and read along with us, excellent. If not, I'll read along. So this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. So if you're not familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, this is when Jesus is talking about, like, blessed are those who are persecuted, for they will... I'm sorry, I don't remember exactly what he says, but he gives all of these, like, backwards things, like, the meek will inherit the earth. Like, if you want to take over the earth and, like, be the greatest, then you have to be very meek, which is, like, power under control, which is complete opposite of how we do things in the real world, right? Like, in everyday humanity life. But God's way is the best way. And so he's telling us this is how to do it. And so this is just an extension of it. This is, you know, he's gone through that part, and now we're going into something else. And Jesus, he sat down and he taught this. And so this is a very intimate, close, it's not formal. I mean, he's talking to a bunch of people, like there's a big crowd. And so he sat down and he's sharing this with everybody. It's not like a sermon. This is like a conversation he's having. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for you either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, he uses money because he's talking about, worldly possessions and worrying and, like, how are we going to be taken care of? But you could replace money with anything. It could be your TV, right? You can't love God and your TV. You can't love God and going on vacations, right? Or, like, going on trips all the time. You can't love God and whatever, sports. It's one or the other. You're going to love something more than everything else. And so what Jesus is getting to is, what do you love the most? What is at the center of your life? Like, what kingdom are you seeking more than anything else? And so then he dives a little bit deeper in the next verse, verse 25. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you're going to have enough to eat or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? What Jesus is really trying to get to us today and to the people he's sitting down and talking to is like, look, there's way more to life than just this, right? Than more than what you just see here, more than accumulating stuff or the things that we worship or we get so excited about, more than our technology. Life's way bigger than this. There's way more to it. And he doesn't even get into like the full eternal ramifications of like spending eternity in heaven or hell for forever. But there's way more to this life than just this stuff. And so just skipping down a few verses, verse 33, this is the main text. Here's what Jesus says. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. And I believe that he includes in the everything you need is a great family. I mean, we need our families. I think it's so incredible how significant our parents play a role in our lives. Like, even as grown adults, we care so much about our parents, or we've been so affected by our parents, right? We're either this way because of something they did or they didn't do. And even now, even as adults, we so crave their approval, right? So crave their relationship with them. That family is just, it's ingrained within people to have a great family. And so I believe that when you seek God, seek the kingdom above all else, he will give you everything you need. And it's not just talking about clothes or food, right? Or a job, provision. But I believe that God says when you seek God's kingdom first, he will give you the greatest family that you could ever desire. Everything you need, he's going to give you the family that you hope and dream of. You know, it's interesting, in verse 32, so right before this, Jesus, he's kind of talking about like the unbeliever's mindset, or somebody that's like so focused on the world, so focused on like their kingdom, or even their like children's kingdom. He says in verse 32, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. That being like, oh man, how am I going to get more clothes, more money? How am I going to get this stuff? Like, how am I going to boost my kingdom? But Jesus says in verse 32, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. And so like, don't worry about it. Don't focus on this stuff, right? Don't get so consumed in these shrines and these things that are so important to you that you've put in so much value in. Don't focus so much on that. Instead, focus on the kingdom of God. And if we do, if we seek God, he promises he will give you everything you need. It's just like cause and effect. Like Jesus, he doesn't just like, yeah, I'm just going to throw this out there and see what happens. It's like, no, if you do this, then this will happen. If you seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, it's an action, right? I'm seeking it. Yeah, I can find it. I can discover it. Yeah, but I don't want to do that. No, I'm going to seek it. I'm going to find it. I'm Indiana Jones trekking through the forest, through the jungle, trying to find this. And then I found it, right? And then it's living righteously. It's actively doing this. Then he'll give you everything you need. And so how do we do this? How do we seek God in his kingdom? How do we promote his kingdom above our own, above our children's? So what I want to do is I want to help you to evaluate if God is at the center of your home by asking you just some questions. And I would encourage you, jot this down, write down some notes, think about this when you're in the car, like pause it and actually like think about it. If you're like cleaning and stuff, I want you to pause and think, really think, talk about this with your spouse. We're going to go through just some of the major big categories of our lives. And there's some other categories that I'm not going to list that you can go through and think through. How is God at the center of my life in this way? So the first one is our schedule, right? So for us, time is such a huge commodity, right? It's like the greatest resource that we have, and it's so limited, right? It's always slipping through our fingers, time. So your schedule, what carries the most weight in your week? Probably it's work, right? Like our whole lives revolve around our work schedule. And so what's at the center of your life? Is it work or is it God? Are you seeking God's kingdom? Or are we seeking our own kingdom? Now, I'm not saying you need to quit your job, you need to be a monk, you need to do that. Like, we need to provide for ourselves, and God can absolutely does use us in our workspaces. Like, work is good. We need to work. The Bible says, if you don't work, you don't get to eat, right? Like, we can't just keep supporting people that are just being lazy. But just helping you to think through what takes the priority in your schedule. How is your schedule determined? Is it sports activities? right? Your child, you're seeking your child's kingdom. They're really good at baseball. And so like we really want to encourage this, and we want them to have fun and do well and learn the like good characteristics that they can learn from baseball. But is that determining your schedule? You know, is baseball determining how your week looks? Is that becoming the most important part of your schedule? Is God the grade of your schedule? That's including your, right? That's including your whole time, like your whole week, your whole year, your whole life. From the moment you wake up, what do you do? Who's the priority? Is it yourself? Is it your to-do list? Is it your own ambitions? Is it your kingdoms? Is it your children's kingdoms, making sure that they're taken care of? Is it God? Are you seeking God first? So your schedule. Is church the priority for the week? Honoring the Sabbath day, keeping it holy. Is that the priority for you? Think about it. What is the greatest moment in your schedule? And does God get pushed away if something else more exciting comes up? Right? Are we prioritizing God? Are you reading your Bible every day? Or you have something else, you're busy, you have something else that you'd rather do. Does that take priority over God in your schedule? Okay, seek God first, and everything will be given to you that you need. Next is money. Money is huge, right? Money is such a big deal. And money in the church, sometimes it feels icky talking about it. It feels goofy. It feels like all we want is money as a church. But no, it's not that. It's about seeking the kingdom of God first, building his kingdom and not our own. And so money, it's like one of the greatest reasons for divorces is money issues. Money is a big deal for our families. And so let me ask you, is God at the center of your finances? When you open up the banking app, what are the charts telling you about how you spend your money? You know, you can see it's so great. Like almost all the banking apps will show you so easily how it's categorized. Is it through donations and gifts, right? Are you generous towards people? Is it entertainment? Like you have 17 streaming services, right? And then you're seeing movies or you're like doing fun stuff, right? So entertainment becomes so big for you. Is it doing things with your kids? Like doing fun activities with your kids? Is it wasting it on like stupid stuff like Cheetos, right? Like stuff, clothes that you're never going to wear or you know you shouldn't buy. What's the categories? How is it listed? What's the top priority for you in your spending? When you receive money, either through work, through gifts, what's the first thing you think about when doing with that money? Like, what do you think about? What do you like look forward to spending with it? Like, what are you aiming for? What are you saving up for? What are your priorities? Now, again, seeking the kingdom of God first, it doesn't mean that you completely abandon everything else in your life. That's not what we're saying in any way, right? Like you need to buy food. You need to have fun. Life's meant to have fun, right? God has blessed you so that you can enjoy your life. And there's so many great things about this life to enjoy. But what are you seeking first? What is the top priority of your life? Does God fall to the very back? Like if we have enough, then we'll do it. You know, I've heard so many preachers say like, it doesn't matter how much money you make, a generous heart isn't determined by the value of how much money you have, right? A generous heart can be generous with very little. If you're very generous with a small amount that you have, then you'll be generous with a lot that you have. But if you're like, well, I just need a little bit more and then I can give more, then you're not going to be generous when you have more. Generosity is a heart issue. It's not a dollar amount issue. So are you generous? Generous with God, with people? Or are you selfish? Whose kingdom are you building? Whose kingdom are you physically investing with your money? Okay, next, let's talk about relationships. Relationships are so big for us, right? Especially as we're talking about our families, it's all relationship-based. Where are your closest relationships? Like, you look at like the placement of where they are in your lives. Is it coworkers, like unsaved coworkers? Is it in the church, right? Is it godly people? Is it no one? You have no relationships? You have no friends? Is it your family? Where are your closest relationships? And then as an extension of that question is, what are those relationships doing to help build your relationship with God? How are they promoting the kingdom of Jesus? Are these friendships totally tearing you down? Like every time you hang out with them, it's like you're worse, you fall back. You're less of who you want to be and who God's created you to be. How are these relationships investing to help you become more of who God wants you to be and your family wants you to be? Where are your priority in relationships? When you hang out with your friends, with your family, are you talking about Jesus? What are you guys doing? In our relationships with our kids, how are you modeling your faith for your kids? How are you modeling your faith for your kids? How are you showing them what it looks like to be a Christ follower? How are you showing them in your examples of everyday life? This is what it means to be a Christ follower, even outside of church on a Sunday. in everyday life, this is how I'm following Christ. This is how you should look like me. How are you talking about Jesus with your kids, with the relationships that you have? Do you talk about Jesus all the time? Like, people are like, dude, this guy never stops talking about Jesus. This person never keeps, like, is always bringing Jesus into the conversation. How are you seeking God's kingdom first? Are you talking about Jesus? Or are you barely talking about him? When your kids have issues, when they have problems, is Jesus the priority? When you're celebrating good things, is Jesus the priority? Are you seeking his kingdom first? Okay, now this one kind of goes back to our schedule, this next category, but it's time spent at home. Specifically, we're talking about family time here. So when it comes to your home, how often are you together as a family? Right? So thinking about your schedule and your time, seeking God's kingdom first, how often are you together? Or how often are you separated? How often are you guys all doing your own thing, seeking your own kingdom, right? Seeking your own thing that you're own doing? Or are you together? Right? How often is God at the center and is pulling you guys together? When you're together, what are you doing? What are you doing as a family? Is God at the center of that family? Are you all off on your own thing, doing your own things? Or are you together? Are there ways that you can seek God's kingdom together as a family? What in your home makes you think and talk about God together? Like, how often are you thinking about God as a family? How often are you talking about God as a family? And then what are things that you're watching or playing, you know, it could be video games, it could be toys, that are helping you put God at the center? The things that you watch at home, either with your kids or just you, how is that putting God at the center? Are you seeking God's kingdom first? Could you clearly say, like, yes, this is, like, making me more like who God has created me to be. This is, like, making me think about things in a way that, you know, is God honoring? Or would it really be, like, really embarrassing to share what you're watching, what you're listening to, and be like, yeah, this is it. Like, this is totally not making me more into who God created me to be. This is entertainment, but it's not good entertainment. It's not wholesome, right? It's not putting God at the center in any way. It's doing the opposite of, like, what God would want. And so with these questions, these are just categories to think through. How can you put God at the center of your family? Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God above all else, above our own ambition, above your own work schedule, above your own desires. You know, just going back to that alcohol cabinet thing again, you know, there's certain things where they're like, well, they're kind of gray issues, right? But again, if you put God at the center, is it? I mean, I think it's so clear what God would want, you know, for the best, for the dream of your family, that getting rid of that stuff, man, that'll make you more into who God has created you to be, right? Seek first the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. That's how you get the dream family. That's how your family, your kids, they grow up loving you, loving God, just being rock stars in every single way in their jobs, right? In their relationships. They have friends as adults, good friends, friends that aren't causing them to get into trouble and do stupid stuff. That's when you, like, get into arguments, like when you're fighting with people, right? Like, when it's just like there's conflict, that you handle it well so that the relationships aren't torn and separated and people don't want to be together at Christmas time. It's seeking God first. What does he say? How does he say to do it? What does his kingdom look like? And promoting that, not our own, not our children's. So with that, let me pray with you. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit, he's probably spoken to you about areas in your life in which you've sought your own kingdom, building your own self up, own self-promotion of your kids, of others. Let's pray that the Lord will help us to seek his kingdom first and then give us the family we dream of. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for teaching us this, for helping us to realize that it's not about us. It's not about our own self-promotion. It's not about promoting our kids, getting farther and farther ahead to make ourselves look good, but that if we seek your kingdom first, about expanding your kingdom, that more people are impacted by you, that more hearts are transformed as a result of doing things your way, as our families, our kids are led by modeling and talking about you, Jesus, that we will have everything we need, including a wonderful family, a family we dream of. I pray, God, that you would help us shape our hearts so that we would prioritize you, that we'd seek you, live righteous, and then have what we need. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, great. Thank you so much for listening. Rooting for you. Praying for you. Excited to see how God's going to transform your family as you seek after him. Looking forward to checking you out on the next episodes. If this was good, please share this with others. Let others know. Share this on either on YouTube or with your favorite podcast app. And we'll catch you on the next episode. All right. Hasta luego and goodbye.